If I was to go like that on the paper, print would be on my hands. Because it's right off the press. It's wet. The ink is still wet. Well, this weekend we've been, this is the third time in the last few, well, from yesterday, that, God's given us a message. And we got in last night about 10:30 to 11 o'clock after a fantastic night at the powerhouse. God really, broke in upon young people. This place was filled with young people last night, from the district, well, from mainly Teesside area and southwest Durham. And, God's doing great things and moving in that area. And, I got home absolutely shattered last night, had a few thoughts, and it's been one of them weeks where we've, not really had time to sort of get down and really study the word, But, God's gracious and, he just pours in what he wants to tell his people. He pours into the Spirit of God, pours into people's lives that were open. If you're sensitive and open to the Spirit, it makes it a lot easier. So you're not going to get any stale bread. Don't worry about that. Okay? It's better than Hovis, this. Better than Hovis. It's been in our family, the bakery, for ages, Producing the word. Praise God. I'd like to look at some thoughts and, I've entitled this morning, Appreciating the Spirit. Appreciating life in the Spirit. Just appreciating that we've got life in the Spirit. In Romans, the 6th and 7th chapter, Paul deals with sin. He deals with the difficulty we have, whether you're a new Christian this morning or you've been on the road so many years, the difficulty we have when we come to the sinful nature and our own nature and our spiritual nature. Because, those two chapters deal with the law of the Spirit, on the law of sin and death. And every one of us here has a struggle, don't we? If we're honest, we have a struggle, we battle, because, the flesh is our greatest enemy. We think the devil is, friends, but, the flesh, right? Ourselves are the greatest enemy. We fight against, not against flesh and blood, I know that. But ourselves can be so, arrogant, so sort of wayward, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Many times we want to pack in, and many times we're just fed up because, we say with Paul, oh, wretched man that I am. Who can deliver us from this body of death? And then the response comes, I thank my God, the Lord Jesus Christ can deliver us. Amen. So there's two laws. And then in chapter 8, it sort of brings it to a climax where, Paul just sums it all up. And I want us to turn to Romans 8 just to read a few verses. Chapter 8 brings us to that wonderful climax that, life in the Spirit. And we don't have to sin. Okay? We don't have to sin. It's not a normal thing for a Christian to do. Let's get that right. It's not normal for a Christian to sin. When we're born of the Spirit, we are born so that we do not sin. We do. I do. And there's no one exempt from that. Let's read it. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. In the likeness of his own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh. That's right. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. But those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, that's fleshly minded, is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is at enmity against God, is at war against God. For it is not subject, there's no submission there, to the law of God, to the word of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you were not in the flesh, but you were in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, then the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if that Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give you life, and that your mortal bodies through him who dwells in you. Life in your mortal bodies. Amen. Life, spiritual life. So we find there that, you know, it's not the norm for a Christian, right, to be overtaken with sin. Right, I want to try and get to the place where the sins, you know, that I was dealing with 2 years ago, I've dealt with. The Spirit of God's dealt with. And they have no hold and they have no effect. That's growth. That's spiritual growth, friends, if we could do that. And I believe we can. Let's be positive. I believe we can. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There's two conditions, though. If you notice, to them who are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ tonight or this morning, if you're in Christ, then you are not condemned. And the second condition is who do not walk according to the flesh. Right? There is a condition. So often we repeat it and we say, there's no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. And then we forget about the rest. Yeah. It says, but who walk? Who walk? Not according to the flesh. Right? Who do not walk to please their fleshly desires, but according to the Spirit. So that the Spirit. The prophecy this morning was, you know, that last prophecy was fantastic because God was saying and confirming what we've got to share here this morning. God was confirming that, you know, that we can, yes, we can. We live in a world of sin. We can fall, we can fail. But God, praise God, he is faithful and his mercy endures forever. Christ's work and sacrifice has freed us from the law of sin and death. The work of the cross has freed us, praise God. We've got to take control of our fleshly appetites. And that demands a little bit of effort, right? Maybe a lot of effort. But we need to, you know, we need to work and we need to trust God because God's going to, you know, deliver us from those things that easily beset us. And John the Baptist, right, when he said, he must increase and I must decrease. Yeah. And what he was saying was that, you know, the Spirit, the anointing, must increase in my life, right? My spiritual appetites must get bigger and bigger. Yeah. And my fleshly appetites must get smaller and smaller. Amen? That's what John was saying. He wanted Jesus to be glorified. He wasn't bothered about his own fame. He wasn't bothered about his own position. He was going to get his head chopped off, that guy. And you know, he suffered, yes, he suffered. He was in prison. But you know, he was joyful to hear what was happening when Jesus was healing and people were being reached with the gospel. You know, such a man like that, such a man that could say, I must decrease. It's one of the hardest things is to be humble and submit. And, you know, we need to die to ourself, okay? We need to die to self. We need to die to ourselves, I need to, you need to die to the fleshly appetites. We must live to spiritual appetites and let our lifestyle, you know, show forth that spiritual appetite that we have. You know, there's a man in the Bible that I want to just talk a little while about, and you know, we can learn so much from this man. He's called Samson. Judges 13. Let's just have a look. If you just turn to Judges 13, because the story of Samson starts there. A majority of us have read the story of Samson, and we have a bit of knowledge. We have some knowledge of Samson. And I believe we see something of Samson's features, something of Samson's failures, something where this life of this man can speak into our lives. I know he speaks into my life, right? I can see myself in Samson, not totally, praise God, right? I don't go after harlots, and I don't run after women because I've got a wife, right? You said amen to that one. I say amen. Okay? You know, but in some features, Samson portrays, you know, a man of God, right? A person who knows God, but has failed and goes and just makes havoc of his life. Samson had an experience of the supernatural power of God. Samson had an experience in God. He knew what it was to feel the anointing of the Spirit. He knew what it was for the Spirit to take hold of him. And there are many in this place this morning, I believe, that know the moving of the Spirit. Knowing God filled you with the Holy Spirit, the day, the night when he poured his Spirit in you and you were baptized in the Holy Ghost. You know, that was a momentous day. You know, I can never forget the night I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? It was the most dramatic, or it was the most, you know, sort of life-changing experience in my life. It changed me even more than conversion. Yeah. Now, conversion, you know, you might think, well, you know, my experience was conversion. Praise God. I was a Christian, right? But there was something lacking in my life. There was, you know, something missing. I had Jesus, I had everything, but there was something, you know, there was something else. I wasn't living a victorious life. I wasn't, you know, moving in the Spirit of God. And I was dry. I was barren. You know, the Christian life was as dry as all sticks. But we find that Samson knew, and there are people here know and have experienced. And sadly, many times we have to look back at an experience and we have to sort of rely or lean on that experience. And it could be 40 years ago, it could be 2 years or 1 month ago. But we should not lean on those experiences. Our experience is now, right? Now, today. What have we got today in God? That's what we're talking about. And Samson, he knew what it was to have the moving of the Spirit. The lion, which he tore apart, it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. These are some things that he did. The Spirit came upon him and he killed 30 men just like that. He caught 300 foxes. And if that wasn't an achievement, he tied the jolly tails together. And he said fire to them. You know, what a prank. You know, I mean, you know, if our kids did that, we'd go mad with them, wouldn't we? Where can we get 300 foxes today? I don't know. But you know, I mean, these OKR fellas, you know, on the tally-ho and all that, on the horses and the hounds that chase the foxes. All right, I'm mentioning it. I'm not saying I'm in favour. I'm not in favour. Make your own mind. That's not the point this morning. We're not bothered, right? You know, we're not interested. That's something of the world, okay? But we're interested in, you know, that it takes a lot to catch one fox. never mind 300. But the supernatural power of God was upon Samson. You know, and he ran and he got these foxes, 300 of them. How he did it, I don't know. It's a miracle. All right, God's into them kind of things. All right, the poor foxes, I feel sorry for them. But anyway, these foxes were set up, you know, and he let them go into the harvest fields of the Philistine. That's a message in itself.
Yeah.
The breaking of the ropes, when Samson said, you know, if you bind me with so many ropes, he just broke them. 1,000 men with a jawbone of a donkey, he just slew them. These are the feats, even carrying the gates of the city, right? You can imagine, you know, I mean, be higher than this ceiling, these gates. Higher. How high is Jerusalem's gate? About 30 foot? At least, yeah. Right, so this fella got them on his back, took them off the hinges, right? You might say, well, he was a big fella. I don't think he was. You know, he's just as puny as me. Right? And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and sort of, you know, carried him away. Carried the gates away. Right? And when the Philistines woke up, you know, there was no gates on the city. That's the message, friends, in itself. The gates speak of authority. Right? The powers of darkness. Right? The gates of authority. You know, Samson had the Philistines on the run. You know, this man, he experienced such power, such supernatural strength and power. Right? And, you know, there's times in people's lives in here, I believe. I believe God's saying that, you know, renew those times. You know, let's get back to sort of, you know, not relying on old things, right? The things that are gone, right? You want a fresh experience today. Now, you want an experience in God. We were talking about this last night to the young people, that, you know, you've got to have an encounter with God. Now. Now, where are you in God? I'll ask the same question as I asked them last night. Where are you in God? Rate yourself 1 to 10. 1, that you're absolutely stone cold and you're indifferent towards God. Or 10, that you're red hot and burning out for God. Where are you? You could be anywhere, couldn't you? But you know, on that scale, you know where you are. And the Spirit of God will show us and show you where you are in Him this morning. Samson's downfall was his flesh life, like with us all. His downfall was his flesh life. Samson flirted with the Philistine, right? Samson did something, right? That he knew very well that was wrong. The Bible says in verse 16, chapter 16, verse 1, it says, he went with a woman, right? And she was called a harlot. And he went with her. And she lived at Gaza. Right? She was a Philistine. He ended up laying on her lap. He ended up on the lap of Delilah. She was saying to him, Samson, tell me the secret of your strength. Tell me the secret of your strength. You know, in verse 6, it tells you that. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies. So he wasn't a fantastic fellow with muscles bulging out everywhere. And with what may be bound to afflict you? She asked Samson. You know, the devil, he knows, he is aware of your great strength. Let's not be fooled. The devil is aware of your great strength. Where your strength lies. He knows where my strength lies. He knows where it lies, friends. He knows, and he starts to worry when he sees the strength of a Christian being experienced, being in operation. When he sees a spirit-filled Christian moving in God, I want to say the devil is afraid.
Yes.
I want to say that the forces of darkness do get agitated. He knows the time to worry when he sees the saints of God on their knees. He sees them, and he sees them reading the Word of God. He sees them praying. The devil knows, and he quakes when he sees the Christians starting to do these things. When they meditate upon the Word of God, when we start pulling rank, it's time we start to pull a rank. You know what pulling rank is? Right? If you're in a top position in a world of executives, in a managerial position, you can tell sort of people, the underdogs, what to do. You pull rank. You know, you've got the authority. It's time as Christians. We need to start to pull rank. We've got authority. Jesus has given us authority. Pull rank. Right? We're the sons of God. Start acting like sons and daughters of the living God. Start acting like sons and daughters of the living God. When we start acting upon the faith that we so often talk about, don't we? I don't know, I can talk for ages on faith. I can talk about the Word of God. You know, anybody can really, can't they? But it's when you act upon the Word of God that the devil, right, gets worried. He sees these things, right? He's not like Delilah, who asked, show me the secret of your strength, because the devil knows the secret of the church is strength. He knows it's the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
It's the Spirit of God. And Samson found at times the Spirit of God coming upon him, right? In those days, the Spirit came upon him. Today, the Spirit is in us, right? We are baptized, and out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And we have the deposit of the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. Everywhere we go, the Spirit of God goes. We take him with us. In Matthew 14, verse 25 to 33, the story of Peter, we read about him getting out of the boat. We read about, you know, that it's really interesting. And the Lord sort of pinpointed some of the things in that chapter. In verse 22, it says, after the feeding of the 5,000, immediately Jesus made his disciples, and it says he strongly urged his disciples to get into a boat and go before him or to the other side. He shoved them off, right? He says, you know, go away. Right, the miracle, right? They've just handed Jesus these 12 baskets full of food. I bet, you know, lots of people had doggy bags and took them home with them. You know, there's plenty left to eat. And he said to his disciples, now, lads, just clear off, all right? Just clear off. He probably never said it like that, because we really, you know, we have a picture of Jesus now. We've spoken about that, don't we? Basically, he was down to earth. And so he says, you know, he would say to them, lads, get a taxi and sort of, you know, go to such and such a place. Right? We haven't got boats. So he says, get in the boat and go to the other side, right? And what he did was send the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain to pray. the secret of his strength, the secret of the source of his strength. And we read that in the night Jesus went to them on the Sea of Galilee. Because, you know, Jesus knew and he wanted to teach the disciples something. He was in total control of the situation. Jesus wanted to teach them something about faith. Right? And he told them to go into the boat. Right? And we are sort of being taught by the Holy Spirit the things that happen to us. The circumstances and things that happen to us. I want to tell you, God can bring good out of every circumstance. I want to tell you that. God can bring good out of every circumstance. He can turn a crisis into a conquering victory.
Yes.
And I believe it. The mercy of God is beautiful.
Yes.
When we start to get out of the boat, because sometimes we want to stay in the boat. We want to be cozy. We want to be comfortable. Many of us don't like change. Many of us like to, you know, keep in a routine and a pattern, you know. Well, you know, the life of Jesus wasn't routine. It wasn't, you know, he had traditions and customs, yeah, good ones. But his life wasn't sort of the mundane, you know. And our Christian life shouldn't be a mundane life. It should be an exciting life, an adventurous life. You know, I've got to go to work and I've got to clock on at 9 o'clock and come away at 5. That is very mundane. And it sounds mundane. I've done it. It is mundane. But you know, when Jesus Christ goes to work with you, friends, it can be the most exciting day that you can ever have.
Yeah.
You can be looking for new challenges, new conquering victories. You know, you can be, it's risky. But you know, in our safe surroundings and we start observing and, you know, the comforts that we can get used to, we need to start desiring spiritual gifts. We need to start launching out into the Spirit, walking towards Christ. Just like Peter when he jumped out that boat. You know, he had faith. He had faith, but his faith was tested. And Jesus said when they got back into the boat, "Oh, ye of little faith." And he didn't mean little faith like that. He meant immature faith. Right? "Oh, ye of immature faith." Because we are being, through the circumstances and trials that we go through, our faith's being tested. And our faith becomes more mature, stronger in God. Hallelujah. So Samson found he had supernatural strength. But one day, after he'd flirted with the world, after he'd flirted with Delilah, after he'd laid his head in the lap, and that's what some Christians are doing, friends. They're laying their heads in the lap of Satan, the lap of the evil one. And they wonder why things go wrong. They wonder why the Spirit of the Lord has departed. Samson found he had no spiritual power. It says he did not know the Spirit had departed. It's different with us, friends. We know when the Spirit of God is not moving in us. He never departs, all right? I'm saying, you know, when I feel God, he doesn't run a million miles away from me, does he?
No.
You know, he said, "I'll be with you. I'll be with you forever." Right? He will be with you forever. That's a promise. But we grieve him, all right? We, you know, we hurt the Spirit. And You know, with us it's a little bit different from Samson, because the Spirit came upon Samson and the Spirit went off Samson. But with us, we can quench the Spirit, we can, you know, ignore the Spirit of God. That's grieving the Spirit, right? Samson realized until his eyes were poked out, until, you know, he was in chains and he was going around the mill grinding corn. He was in bondage then. It says he had been lulled asleep. If you look at verse in Judges, all right, if you look in verse 19 of chapter 16, a very significant verse here. It says, then she lulled him to sleep. Very significant.
Yeah.
That's what the devil wants to do, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to lull us asleep. Many churches are asleep. Many Christians are asleep today. They've been lulled asleep. Just like rocking a baby to sleep on a rocking chair. Yeah. Who's got a rocking chair this morning? Put your hands up. I've got one of them reclining chairs, you know, so where I'm dozing off, like, you know, I just recline. It's beautiful. But we don't want to fall asleep, do we? We don't want to fall asleep because God says, awake, thou that sleepeth. Awake, awake, O Zion. Put on the garments of strength. Clothe yourself with strength. Now's the time, friends, to really be awake. Awake and not be lulled asleep. But Delilah lulled him asleep. While he was asleep, the enemy did its work. Why are we asleep, friends? The enemy can come in and go out as he pleases. He can destroy people's lives while we're asleep. But I praise God that Samson had a restoration. We praise God. We need not expect to find ourselves in Samson's position, friends. That's not the norm. We needn't find ourselves in those positions, right? We needn't find, okay? It's not necessary. We can learn from this man's life. That's one of the main reasons why he's in the scriptures, so that we can learn and we can see that the downfall of Samson. We can see the great strengths that Samson had, but and his downfalls. And we as Christians can beware that the devil does go around like a roaring lion, seeking to devour. Well, I praise the Lord that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And his grace is sufficient for me. His grace is sufficient. The grace of the Lord. We won't. Let's have that determination. Let's have that resolve. We refuse to have a defeatist attitude. I refuse when I'm playing football to be defeated. I refuse it. Sometimes I get out of control, but I refuse to be defeated. I don't know, there's just something in me that I'm not going to be a loser here. And the lads know it, you know. Poor kids. I've got the bruises to show it as well. Do you want to see? But you know, we should not be defeated, because our attitude should be an attitude of positive. Because Jesus was the most positive person that ever walked the face of this earth. Samson was restored. Peter was lifted up when he began to sink. Right? When Peter began to sink, Jesus stretched out his hand and lifted him. Right? You might be sinking this morning. I don't know. You might be sinking and Jesus will lift you up. If he hasn't done already. He'll lift you up and he'll encourage you to walk with him. His grace is sufficient for me. I love them words, you know. Hallelujah. Samson was bound at the mill. Christian life can be a bind, can be a grinding. You know, the works of, you know, our life can be a grind. It can be sort of a drudgery to come to church, you know. It could be sort of, you know, oh boy, do I have to go out tonight? Do I have to sit with those noisy kids, you know? You feel like this at times, don't you? You know, do I have to sort of, you know, go to the prayer meeting? Oh dear. Sister or brother so-and-so goes on and on and on. You know, I fall asleep. These things could stop us from doing these things. But let's have not a defeatist attitude, but an overcoming one. You know, because the grind can be turned into a great liberty, yes, and a great freedom, right? You know, I look forward to come to the church this morning. Look forward to last night's meeting. We look forward to going to the prison yesterday afternoon. And the lads were looking forward. You know, there was, we need an expectancy, friends. Yes. You know, you can look forward to tomorrow morning when you go to work. You're looking forward to that, aren't you? You are, aren't you? You're looking forward and all that work that's ready for you. You can do it with the joy of God in your spirit. The Christian life is not a grind. It's an exciting life. It's a life of adventure. It's a life of risk. It's a life of faith. The New Testament church. Now I'm going to finish. The New Testament church, yes, it had power. Just like Samson's life, he had power with God. The church ripped the gates of darkness off its hinges in the New Testament. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, they set the captives free. They healed the sick. Disease had to go. Demons had to flee. Yes, they experienced spiritual power. Where is the church today? Look at the church today. Look at our nation. Look at our town. Where is the church today? Not being negative. That's a positive thing to examine and to analyze where we are in God. It's positive. Search me, O God. Know my heart today. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. We should always be under the spotlight of the Spirit. Samson's hair began to grow. Howbeit, Samson's hair. His hair began to grow. Amen. In other words, this morning we could have that said about us. Howbeit, this New Life Church in Birmingham, they began to increase even more than we are, friends, in maturity, right? In desiring after God, in desiring the spiritual things, desiring to be used by God. Being living sacrifices unto God. You know, and Samson, all right, he just had one last go at it, didn't he? He just had one last go, and he made good use because God's grace was sufficient for him. God didn't say, Samson, you failed, get out of it. God used it. Okay. Sad ending, but he did kill more Philistines in the last act that he did. And through, you know, he was a deliverer of Israel. He was a deliverer, and he did deliver Israel. God's faithful. God will do that. Samson's restoration depended on Samson's response. You know, it's a lovely prayer that he prays. You know why? Just before
Verse 28, chapter 16, Judges. He said, then Samson called to the Lord, saying, O Lord, remember me.
Yeah.
I pray, strengthen me. We can pray that prayer this morning. Yeah. Strengthen me. Strengthen me, God. Just this once. Well, we want more than that, don't we? We want to be strengthened every day. Oh God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. Right. Samson took hold, and we know the story, don't we? There was a mighty victory that day. And Samson responded. What is our response this morning? What is our response this morning? We've looked at the life of Samson in a quick flash, really, to see the things we can learn from him. We've looked at Peter, who was willing to have a go, willing to get out the boat, willing to, really abandon himself to Jesus. We haven't got to be afraid that we might fall. Children don't have any fear, do they? Have you noticed that? I know when our two were growing up, they used to sort of like jump off, not cliff edges, but they used to jump off walls. They used to catch them, No fear of the side of the baths, things like that. Most children have no fear. Especially when dad or mum is waiting for them. Right? Don't worry. Our Father will pick us up. Let's pray.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Your grace is sufficient for us this morning. We don't have to do it ourselves. Hallelujah. Lord, let your spirit just move in this place this morning. Help us not to be casualties like Samson. Let's learn from this life. Lord, we just pray. We thank you for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your mercy, Lord, that you gave towards Samson. Thank you, Lord, for the caring that you gave to Peter. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to, Lord, be under condemnation or sin. We thank you, Lord, that we are in Christ and we're in the Spirit this morning. We thank you, Lord, that the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from that law of spirit of death, that law of death and sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that every one of us this morning can be, Lord, overcomers. Lord, strengthen those hands that hang down the feeble knees. Let those hands and arms that hang down this morning be raised in victory, Lord, in the face of all situations. In the face of every foe that will come against us, because the Lord rides upon the flood. We thank you, Lord, that the Lord sitteth upon the flood. And that, Lord Jesus, you are in control of every situation. Lord, you sit upon the flood this morning. When the floods come in, Lord Jesus, of adversity and crisis, calamity, and Lord Jesus, the Lord sits upon it. You're in control, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, bless you, Jesus.